CrewPros, your single source for high-quality, affordable home services. If you are remodeling, repairing, or replacing, CrewPros are the professionals that can do the job no matter the size. If you are thinking of remodeling your kitchen or bath, needing a new HVAC system, plumbing repairs, flooring, or a complete roof replacement, call CrewPros. CrewPros, proud sponsor of the Grizz 901 podcast.
Memphis. Nothing but Memphis. Everywhere we go, it's Memphis. Memphis, Tennessee, the beautiful land in the world.
And I'm thankful for this guy who tweeted and said, I don't have that fire in my eyes no more. That game right there was for him. That's what I do. I prove people wrong each and every night, and that's for him right there.
Hi, this is Tom Izzo at Michigan State, and you're listening to Grizz 901.
What up, Grizz Nation, and welcome back to another episode of Grizz 901. We are presented by Zach Jaworski State Farm, where they treat you like family. I am your host, Daniel Greer, and we have our co-host here. Yo, what's up, Nate?
Is that music cutting out for you? I don't know. I'm a happy camper. It doesn't really matter, music or no music. I'm having a good time. How about you, my friend?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I can't complain. We haven't been here for a little bit. And so, one, we want to apologize just first and foremost. It's been spring break for me personally. I was supposed to be out of town. We were going to do a post-game show. My whole family got sick, and so I've been dealing with little ones who have 104 temperatures. And so if you're a person, you probably had a bad temperature and it sucked. But imagine a little one having a temperature. And so it was been me and the wife just kind of tag team and trying to figure out if we can get these kids back to normal. But we're here. We have so much to discuss today that we have to go ahead and get right into it. The Grizzlies just win a big game. It was a fourth quarter comeback win, a game where the Grizzlies normally do not win that a month or two ago. Nate, first thoughts on that?
Things have changed since a month or two ago. I mean, they've turned around. I think really turned around over the past couple of weeks where, I mean, the Heat game was very much so the outlier, whereas I think we had gotten into a stretch where what happened in the Heat game had been much more commonplace. And the Grizz are dominating fourth quarters right now. I mean, they are winning these games in fourth quarters. The San Antonio one obviously was a massive comeback where they dominated the fourth quarter. The Golden State game, they dominated, pulled away in the fourth quarter. And then this game, obviously going, I think they're down 13 going into the fourth or something like that.
13.
Come out.
Yep.
13. Come out, win by four. I mean, that's outscore a team by 17 and a quarter is no easy feat. And they did it. So they're dominating, man. And
no,
a lot of it thanks to old Jaren Jackson Jr. We're seeing a side of him we've never seen before. Not like this.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to get into Jaren a little bit later on. And I know Nathan wants to discuss him very much in depth. But we're also going to talk a little bit about Ja Morant. Like, his return is imminent, right? He is coming back at some point. I don't know if anybody knows. I don't know if it matters. I just know that he is back with the team, and that's the only thing that matters to me personally. But we're going to discuss that just a little bit because I think it's important to kind of see maybe what it looks like going forward. And so briefly going to discuss that, probably close the show with that. But before we get there, let's go a little bit back in time. Okay. We haven't been here what game was it? The Heat game? Was that it?
The Heat? No, we didn't do the Heat game. It was the game before it, whatever that was.
Okay, so we did the Mavericks game. All right, so it was the Heat game we missed. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
And so we missed the Heat game, 138-119. Grizzlies didn't play well, right? I don't know if there's much to discuss about that. I think that's a throwaway. It's an outlier.
Yeah.
The Grizzlies kind of got it under control a little bit. Spurs, Kenny Lofton played. They didn't look good at all, right? It was very much a hangover from that Heat game. The Grizzlies bounce back. Junior is a big key contributor there, and it was kind of his breakout game of the year so far. And so shout out to Junior with that. And then you obviously get the Warriors, 4 hours of sleep for Dylan Brooks. He comes in. They end up controlling that game for majority of the game, and then Four Finger Clay is 133 to 119, and he goes down. And then tonight, 112 to 108. These are big key games the Grizzlies are winning without Ja Morant. I know we're going to get into Jaren, but is there anybody else that you're seeing that's stepping up that's just outside of like our main dude?
I mean, there's a lot of characters. I think one that is not going to light up the scoreboard, but that needs to be recognized is Xavier Tillman. I mean, I thought his time on this team was pretty well done earlier in the year, and he has proven me way, way wrong. I mean, he is contributing the way he contributed his rookie year, which is going to be needed with Brandon Clark out, right? I mean, when you get into playoff rotations, you're not going to see a whole lot of X. There's going to be moments where you need someone to fill in that role, and he's proven himself more than capable of doing it. Mm. You got Tyus, who, of course, has been a steady hand. Dez has played really well. Tonight was obviously a little bit off. But number one, Jaren, awesome. Awesome, 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 in a way that we all have known he could be awesome. Now he seems to know he can be that awesome. And you've seen the light bulb switch. Again, we'll get to that. The other one's Dylan Brooks, man. Listen, Dylan has been – he obviously lit it on fire in the Spurs game. He hit those massive shots, and then he came into the Warriors game, 4-for-4. Awesome defense. I mean, game of his life type game. But he's just played really solid, great team basketball in this little stretch. And I think that Draymond calling him out for the teammate stuff, I think he took that to heart a little bit. You know, I don't think that it's overstated. Somebody pointed it out. I don't know if it was Fish or somebody with Grind City, I think. Maybe Brev, talking about since Draymond went on the pod and said that stuff, Dylan has been the most locked in he maybe has ever been. Yep. I think he's right. I think that had an effect on him where he's doing that. And you see it in his shot selection. He's not taking nearly as many crazy shots. One thing that I saw tonight that I've seen a lot over the past little stretch of games, that I'm not sure if you've noticed, when it gets down to 3 minutes or so left in the game and it's a tight game, Dylan's not letting it fly from that corner unless he is wide open right in those moments like he did with the Spurs. Like, he was feeling it in those games, so he took them. Tonight, he passed up open shots saying, hey, we need to get this to Dez or Jaren. Which is, what more do you want from the guy?
Yeah. Any efficient, a locked in defender of Dylan, like Dylan Brooks, is that's the player you want, right? In him. You don't want an inefficient player. You want somewhat efficient. You have to accept the good with the bad. Like Dylan will always be an inefficient scorer on a consistent basis, right? He's going to be that. The outlier is the efficient games. But if you can accept all of that, if you get somebody who's locked in defensively, and I think that's what he's been, who's stepping up? And I always look at game by game and kind of seeing what stands out to me. We're going to go all the way back to the Spurs game, which I just mentioned. Kenny Lofton Jr., right? He steps up out of nowhere. Somebody that is unheralded, right? Somebody that a lot of people don't know of. If you're not like a Grizzlies fan or somebody who tracks the NBA or maybe just, you know, college basketball, the draft. And then you get to the Warriors game and you have guys like Luke Kennard. I think he went 4 of 8 in that game, right? So somebody different. And then tonight it's Santi Aldama. Who's stepping up is a little bit of everybody. And that's what championship teams need. You know the game plan going into a game that you have to stop Ja, Jaren, Bane, right? And that is really your main game plan, is how to defend the Grizzlies. But if you're continuously having somebody else step up, one, it goes to the front office. Hats off to them for getting these guys, to the coaching staff, for bringing these guys up, to the players for actually stepping up to the plate and contributing on a big basis and on a consistent basis. Like, these guys are still really good. I didn't even mention David Roddy. Okay, let's just be honest. These guys who normally do not play on like and are up to the level of the 25 plus minute guys, they are stepping up. And that is really how this team is answering the call when 12's not there.
Well, and it's gotten to the point where, you know, tonight was an off night for the Grizz. And it's surprising when these shots aren't going down, right? I mean, Santi's had a rough stretch lately, right? It was nice to see him break out tonight and play really, really well. But it's been rough for him. But, you know, tonight, Roddy wasn't hitting his shots. Kennard wasn't super efficient. Bain was having a really rough shoot tonight. And I was surprised when these shots weren't falling, which is not how it's been all season, right? And that's other guys. You know, that's not the ball in Ja's hands every possession. That's not Bain shooting wide open threes. It's role guys making catch and shoot threes. And that's what the Grizzlies have been missing, and they've had it lately. Ja being out for what happened with Jaren, we'll talk about this a little bit more later, might be the best thing that could have happened for the team. Yeah. Obviously not from, you know, you don't want him to be dealing with stuff he's dealing with. Nothing like that, clearly. Getting to see Jaren see himself do what he's doing now, dude, that will win them a playoff series. Jaren knowing he can go and dominate a game like that will win them a playoff series. That's massive for them. But Ja coming back makes it that much easier for everybody else. Kennard's not going to have to shoot these threes on the run. He's going to get standstill corner threes. Bane's going to be able to not have as much on-ball action, be able to come off ball and just focus on making his shots, even though his dribble game's obviously been awesome over the past couple of weeks. You know, Tyus going to step back into a reserve role, but he's going to be able to go out there knowing he can go dominate just like he did last season in his reserve role. Yep. You know, Tyus has not been playing off the handle like he did last year when he was filling backup
this
duties.
Whole year. Right.
Now he's been able to get himself into a groove and remember, okay, this is what I can do. And it's all coming together at the right time for Memphis, right? All that's left is to get Ja reintegrated, and hopefully Steve-O is able to get his knee cleared and get back in the action here sooner than later too.
Yeah, this team was getting buried by a lot of people after, especially when all the Ja stuff happened. But they definitely stepped up. Ronnie, I want to give you a shout out. He was talking about the defense kicking in. First of all, thank you for hanging out, listening with us. But second of all, the fact that the defense has stepped up has been huge. Obviously, Triple J is the defensive player of the year. But these other dudes, Roddy has played an amazing game, and he continues to play good defensive basketball. I will have to shout out Jitty. I know he's very much either the love or hate right now. Jitty played great. especially at times, he played really great tonight. But I will say that Roddy, what does he have? What's he have?
The it factor, baby.
Sorry, I was trying to set you up on that one. Yeah, Roddy's got the it factor. Shout out Black Lives Matter for, you know, being probably our number one fan for sure. But just coming back, we haven't been here, but thanks for missing us, by the way.
Yeah, I got to say, too, Jitty, he wasn't making a bunch of shots today. He made one pretty big one. That 1-3 he did make was a pretty big shot. They needed that at the time just to stop the bleeding. It wasn't a huge momentum thing, but they just needed something. His rebounding tonight was off the charts.
Right. He looked like old Jitty.
Got some rebounds tonight. And that's why he's out there, right? It's not to make shots. It is to be a glue guy and to do those little things. And listen, I've been on here plenty this season saying he hadn't been doing those little things, right? Like I hadn't seen it from him. Tonight he came out and he did it. He came out and he did it. And he does it more than people notice. That's why he's still in the rotation. Listen, I've seen some of the Jitty stuff going around, and I get it. I want Roddy minutes over Jitty minutes. He's getting more minutes than Jitty. Jitty's still going to be in that rotation. So I'm happy, man. Listen, Grizz made me a happy camper. I'm here for it, dude. They're playing their best basketball, coming together at the right time, and they're about to get one of the best players in the league back playing.
Yep. Happy camper. We're looking at the game between Utah and Sacramento. If you are a podcast listener, thank you. You obviously know the score. We do not. We're doing this live. So the Jazz are up 3 on the Sacramento Kings, 41 seconds to go in the game. The reason these are big is because any separation you can get from the Kings is big, because I believe they will hold the tiebreaker. I'm almost certain at the end of the year, unless crazy things happen. But I'm curious to see how this game plays out. Now they're at 5, so we should be locked in unless crazier things have happened. But did I just jinx them? I just jinxed them.
Nah, I was saying, quick, one possession game, clutch against the Kings. makes me a little bit nervous. Yeah. But hey, shout out to NBA League Pass. I can't watch any Jazz games, even though I don't own Jazz television because I'm based in Salt Lake. So shout out you guys.
Jazz.
Black out this game.
All right. So Triple J franchise player. A lot of people love Jaren Jackson Jr. I'm going to step out of the way here. Jaren's emergence.
Everybody better step out of the way, dude. He is spiking it on dudes' heads. It is awesome. And listen, he got teed up tonight, and we were in the group chat. DC was actually the one talking about how he doesn't want Jaren getting texts, wanting to be smart. I agree. Jaren's been super emotional throughout the past, and that's been to his detriment. The type of emotional he is right now gets me going. He is looking to absolutely dominate dudes. Dominate dudes. And he is making them look like little boys night in, night out. He had a full drive from the perimeter, spin move, and one. I'm not going to say hammer. Dunk tonight. Dude, he has putbacks. You could see him. Tonight was the biggest night in the first quarter before he got Tony Brothers, which I'm not the biggest Tony Brothers fan, but I've been thinking about it.
He sucks.
It seems like players do like Tony Brothers. So I think that's a fan thing more than it is a player thing. I saw Jaren and Tony chopping it up after the game. I think players and Tony Brothers might get along better than fans and Tony Brothers. But needless to say, Jaren did get Tony Brothers tonight, only 23 minutes. But in the first quarter, you saw the light come on and Jaren said, I can take it to these dudes all night long. And he did while he was in the game. It's awesome, man. It's awesome. They're going to need it. And listen, the defensive side has been there the entire time. The fact that the whole Brook Lopez thing is still out there. Listen, the guy who is the most that I've seen thumping for Brook Lopez talked about how he has two of the other best defenders in the league on his team. And I'm like, that, and your argument is that that guy should be defensive player of the year because he's surrounded by two of the best defenders in the league. It's nonsense. Yeah. But the offensive part, dude, what do you have? 28, 25, like 31 and 28. It's freaky.
Yep.
It's freaky. And most of it's coming in the paint. He's not relying on the three. He's getting in the paint. He's getting buckets at the rim. He's getting fouled and he's making his free throws, right? Obviously not tonight, but no one made the free throws tonight. Dude, it is. That is what this team needs to go to the next level because the shooting, all of that can be really volatile. Jaren being 7'2" and able to just little boy dudes, that can be there every night.
You can't teach that. You can't teach that really. Honestly, he is becoming a monster. The first thing, okay, so I've watched obviously all these games, just like all of us fans have as well. What I saw is the light bulb turn off. I always talk to my kids that I coach, you know, you see the light flickering a little bit, right? And then all of a sudden it clicks on. You're like, oh my God, like you're finally getting it. That's the moment as a fan, as somebody who watches, you see Jaren, he's finally getting it. He finally knows that I am a monster. I am demanding that Santi throw me the ball because I am bigger and I'm more agile than any of these dudes. Obviously, he has things that he has to work on. That is understood. But who he's becoming within a season is incredible. When you get to the offseason, you can work on, hey, maybe I don't need to go to my left hand every single time and try to just back this guy down and eventually get charge calls. But what Jaren can do is he can learn these other moves in the offseason, and that's going to be perfect. But Jaren becoming this player is whatever happened to Ja, how bad it was, right? It is the absolute best thing that has ever happened to Jaren because I think something went off in his head saying, hey, I need to step up. And that's what he's doing. He's stepping up right before our eyes to where we're seeing this dude just catapult into higher realms that we've ever seen. And it's crazy because now he's becoming the number two option. He is the number two guy, and sometimes he can be your number one.
Well, and that's the thing is it's you can't defend it. There are like three guys in the league that can defend Jaren when he's like that, right? AD, Giannis, maybe like a Porzingis has given him trouble in the past. You're not going to see Porzingis ever when it matters, I think, maybe for the rest of that guy's career. Poor fella. And then the other two, he still has the tools to be able to go to work against those guys. You can't defend it. But two, it's good for Ja to see that. Because what do we know about Ja? He enables and empowers his teammates. No matter what's going on with all this stuff, we all know that Ja, what's happening now is not in his character. Whatever everybody says about him, no one's ever said anything about him being anything other than a stellar teammate. He wants to empower his teammates. He gets to see, hey, Jaren knows what he can do. I can give him the ball and let him go to work. And it takes all that load off Ja's shoulders, except for when he wants to have it. Right. And now you've got a two-man punch, not to mention Desmond Bain, who's rediscovered his off the dribble game, who obviously is a knockdown shooter. It's going to be a pick your poison thing, right? And then you got role players stepping up for when those guys don't have it. But the Jaren thing unlocks this team to such an extent. It's just, it's awesome. It makes me, as a Jaren supporter over the past few years and getting to see all my buddies in these texts eat crow, I'm just so happy. I'm so happy to see this dude thriving. It's so good to be right. I'm a draft prophet. I'm a Jaren prophet. The Jaren prophet was actually not hard to predict. Yeah, that was an easy one. Shout out Roddy Gang. But the rest of it, man, it's fun. It's fun. Grizz are playing awesome basketball, dude.
You know what's not fun is having to listen to you talk about David F and Roddy, because you saw somewhere that somebody put something up and you're like, oh, that guy might be good. You didn't even know where he went to school. You didn't even know how to spell his name. You can't even spell David. We know.
He's a legend of Fort Collins. So what are we talking about? I know everything about CSU. Are you kidding me?
You do now.
What are you talking about? No, I knew plenty about CSU.
You did not know anything about David Roddy.
Listen, how many things are out there about this guy? You mean the antelopes? Awesome. That guy's awesome. Shut up. This guy's awesome. That guy's awesome. And I said, out of all those, I pick this guy. That's right. I picked the one and only David Roddy. Let's go, gang.
Wow. All right.
How dare you disrespect me?
Yeah, well, whatever. But you know who else is awesome? Zach Jaworski State Farm. They are our presenting sponsor, and they're very good people. And if you need insurance ever, especially in the local Memphis area, give them a call at 901-794-3691. You can reach out to them online and get a free quote at ZachInsuresMemphis.com. That's Z-A-C-H. And if you don't know how to spell the rest, I apologize. But it's ZachInsuresMemphis.com. They can get you auto, home, jewelry. If you need any kind of other stuff on the side, such as financial stuff, I have a lot of stuff through them. They also have that as well. So make sure you give them a call. Let them know the Grizz 901 team sent you. 901-794-3691. All right. What else do you want to get into? So I know we want to hit on Ja a little bit. Is there anything else you want to hit on before we get to the Ja stuff and kind of just let it go from there?
First off, shame on you for continuously using our beloved sponsor, Jack Jaworski, to get yourself out of conversations you don't want to be in.
You just called Jack Jaworski again?
No, I said Zach Jaworski. You just don't understand because you got crappy internet. No, I mean, we touch on everything. Listen, I love Dylan. How about Dylan generating great content for us, man? Just great engagement via Dylan. Mm. Shout out to all the Butthurt Warrior fans giving us free clicks.
My God.
It's awesome. I appreciate you guys. 1 million views on that one piece. So love it. God, that's just a good feeling, soaking in all of the hatred. I love it. I love it.
Very much so.
I love it.
All right. One thing we do have before we get to the Jaw stuff, I want to say that I have two extra tickets to the mismatch live show. If you're in the comments, the first two people that want a mismatch, just put in mismatch in the comments if you want two of those tickets. I got extra ones for our group. Unfortunately, people could not go, and so I have two extras. So if you do want one, just put in mismatch. And for some reason, you're not here and you're listening to this later, hit us up on Grizz Lead @Grizz_Lead. And hit us up in the DM and we will make sure we get you your ticket. The show is tomorrow. It starts about 7:30 PM. So if you're hearing this on the podcast, it's Tuesday, 7:30. I apologize, but you can still hit me up. We never know. We might still have those available, but let's go ahead and get into Ja, because I think that's going to be what a lot of people want to hear and talk about, and kind of what's next upcoming, because somebody like Steve-O, right? We don't know exactly when he's returning. I think I would have a lot to talk about between what Jaren is now and adding Steven Adams into that. I think that could be really, really good rebounding wise, but also allowing Steve-O to be a facilitator more on the top of the key. But we won't know that until we get closer to the playoffs, because I don't believe that they're going to allow Adams to come back any earlier than they first talked about. So let's go ahead and get into a little bit of Ja, and I'll let you lead off with this. So what's next for 12?
Basketball. That's it. Basketball's next. Listen, that's it. It's back to ball. I think this is, you know, we talked about this a little bit before. I don't want to dig back into it too much, but we talked about this is probably the best of all the bad case scenarios that could have happened for Ja, being able to have this happen, it come to a head where a adjustment has to be made in his lifestyle. But there's no permanent damage. There's nobody got hurt. Nothing is completely lost. And he's able to come back with really just a slap on the wrist. Man, I look stupid for a minute type of deal. And I think it's a good opportunity, not just for him, but for the whole team to reset. And now he gets to come back and he gets to play basketball. And listen, it's good that he's coming back against the Rockets. And don't be surprised if it's a bit of a struggle bus the next few games, him getting back in, because this team had to find a whole new base level of function with him out, which is going to be awesome for the team down the road. You got to see Jaren coming to his own. David Roddy stepped up. Tyus has stepped up. You just had a lot of that stuff happen. But bringing Ja back into the fold puts this team in a completely different operating mode than what they've been in with him out. And so it might look a little ugly, and that's okay. I think they need to and will go find a hybrid of what they were doing before Ja was out, of being able to utilize him, obviously feature him in the offense, while also finding ways to keep the ball moving, get these other guys involved, but really feed Jaren and make sure Jaren stays engaged and involved and dominating the whole game and find that balance. And I think that'll be the focus of the rest of the season. I don't think they care if they get 2-seed, 3-seed. I don't think that's going to matter to them nearly as much as optimizing that duo, because once they optimize that duo, it's pick your poison with any team they face, and it makes everything easier for everybody. So I think it'll be a bit of a struggle. If not, let's go. I'll here for that. But I think it's going to be a bit of a struggle. I think it's going to be a little bit ugly, but they are going to find ways to optimize that duo, make sure they both are at their peak of powers heading into the playoffs. The good news is the only piece left to integrate after that is Steve-O. Once Steve-O comes back, right, he pretty much is going to fit right in. Nothing's going to change too much with him other than he's going to be just destroying all the humans that were able to avoid his screens for the past month and a half. But what's next for Ja? Get back on the court, get back to the joy of the game. It was good to see him light up at the end of that game tonight. You know, I think everybody sort of saw him on the bench. Probably a little weird for him being back on that bench with everything that's gone on, not playing. People are cheering for him, but it's still a little weird. He was able to just light up and be a part of the team by the end of the night. That's perfect. That's what I wanted to see by the end of the night. Now he can come back and just play basketball again.
Yeah, he wasn't like himself, right? And that's okay. Like, it's going to take time for him to kind of get back into feeling comfortable out in the public, you know, light. Like, it really just is, because he's gone through a lot. But nothing really changes anything until you get back to your normalcy of life. And that's on the court. When he gets back onto the court, I think he can finally feel himself again. And I think that's going to be a beautiful thing. Watch if you are a betting person or anything. I'm telling you, the first quarter is not going to be a scoring quarter for Ja. I think he's going to try to integrate himself back into the offense, such as everybody else has, because he's seeing and he's going to want to try things out that he's honestly been missing out on. and trying to keep the team still winning. I think that's going to be very important for him. And so I think he gets back into this game, whatever game. I think one of the first, whatever, it's a Houston game that he's returning to, okay, whether it's Wednesday or Friday. I think that Ja is going to try to integrate himself back into it. And that's really what you want. You want a guy who can get back into the team and mesh back into a little bit of what's working for them, what benefits the players that are already there. How can he be a duo with Jaren? Maybe they give Jaren the pick and roll option, such as they gave Steve-O. That might be very important. I think there's a lot of good stuff that could happen. It just depends. Like, I just think that Ja has the opportunity to come in and integrate himself. I don't think he's going to try to come in and go nuclear. I don't see that. I see him trying to integrate himself completely.
Well, and what's going to be cool is when we have all this love for the city, for him from the city coming back in, he's going to get the standing ovation of all standing ovations when he gets back on that court. People are going to shower him with love. And it's going to be awesome to have that moment, because I think that's going to be helpful for him to be able to come back on the court and see my people have me. Right. And this city right. has me and has my back.
And they did tonight. Standing ovation when he came out.
Yeah. Yeah. So listen, I'm excited. That's our guy. He is the city's beloved son at this point. And I think it's gonna be cool for him to experience that in full force when he comes out to play, whether it's Wednesday night or Friday night.
Yeah. It's gonna take a load off of players like, honestly, like Desmond Bain. Desmond can kind of fall back into the shooter, maybe the driver every now and then. Right now, he is the backup point guard. He's trying to be a facilitator. He's trying to be a shooter. He's trying to be a driver. He's also trying to play football when he drives because, dude, he tucks that ball, and you do not want to stand in front of him. And where he tucks it away, I'm not sure where it goes, right? He hides it. And then he brings it back up like a magic trick and then scores. It's crazy. It's beautiful. I love it.
Bro, no, he's got to be turning over at the end of the game because he's exhausted because he's just freaking destroying things for 48 minutes. Yeah, I think it's good to see that side of Dez, for him to have that in his bag. It's better for him to not have to use it very often. Yeah. But, hey, I completely different note. I got a question for you. Unless you have more on the job stuff.
No, we're good.
This is not relevant to anything we talked about. I was just looking through this. I'm looking at the seeding. You know, Kings lost, so Grizzlies are a game up for the two seed right now. Three and a half back in Denver. Do you want that one seed, or would you rather be in the two?
That's a great question.
I have an answer that I'm pretty stand firm on, so I want to hear yours first.
My dog woke up, by the way, if everybody sees.
I heard, too.
She's just a baby. Yeah, she whines a lot. She's old. She's, 14 now? She's a pit. She's 14. Anyway, she cannot. She didn't even know I was in here. Pit bulls are the absolute best dogs. They're complete babies. I want to go on that. But
all right, back on subject. So, come on now.
All right. Listen, sometimes I get sidetracked. You got to remind me. Somebody got to poke me sometimes, wake me up. But I will say, just looking at the standings real quick, I'll go over them. Denver 1, then Memphis, Sacramento, Phoenix. That's the top four. That's the home seed, right? That's the home court advantage. Then you go Clippers and Warriors, which I would like to miss them. You have Dallas, who we play well against now. Like, even with Luka, I feel comfortable playing against them. Minnesota, bro, give us Minnesota, especially without Ant. Oklahoma City and Utah, those are your play-in teams. And then Lakers, New Orleans sucks. Portland's pretty much done. They're not going to get up in there. I don't think they could win two games, even if they did. If it was me, I want to stay away from 1-4 because that's Phoenix and Denver. Unless the Clippers jump them, but either way, I still feel okay. I would rather play the Clippers over the Suns personally. I would rather, you know, I'd like to miss Kevin Durant. I would like to stay in the second probably because you will probably miss Clippers and Golden State with that. So what say you?
I think it depends on your goal. My goal is for this team to make a West Finals and compete for a West Finals NBA Finals championship.
Okay.
If that's my goal, you want the two seed. If your goal is to not be a first round exit, you want the one seed. That one seed, you're going to be facing it against right now, either Dallas, Minnesota, OKC, or Utah. Really, those are the likely candidates, right? Because if Golden State slips back in, Dallas passes them for that sixth seed, I anticipate Golden State winning that first play-in matchup, right? But you never know. Play-in, obviously, is a dangerous game. But chances are that one seed is the best chance of making it to the second round. Bro, after that, it gets all kinds of hard. So if you're the two seed,
yeah,
let's say we're the two seed. You're facing winner of, as of now, Sacramento, Golden State. That could turn into Sacramento, Dallas. Either way, I'd rather play them than the Suns or the Clippers.
Hey,
listen, I think the Grizz.
Hold on. Hold on. That's not right. That's actually, so it'd be the seven, right? So the Grizzlies would be playing the seven. So you're saying you would be playing it's Sacramento, Golden State. Gotcha. Second round. Gotcha. Go ahead.
Yep.
I think you said that right. I think I'm the idiot, but keep going.
Usually. So if you're doing that, listen, I think the Grizzlies can beat all these teams. And I've said from the get-go, Phoenix is an injury away from disaster. The Clippers, we can say all we want about, oh, Paul George and Kawhi, healthy playoffs. Guess what? It's never happened, and they've never been able to put it together. I still think the Grizz can match up with anybody. Bottom line is the Kings are one of the best offensive teams in the history of the NBA, quite literally.
Right.
Their defense is the reason that they're in the three seed and not the one seed, right? And I trust the Grizzlies' defense, especially if they get Adams back against that Kings team. And the Grizzlies' offense will be able to obviously put up points. Then Golden State. I thought Memphis matched up with Golden State last year before the series happened, and the series proved me right. A healthy Ja, we have no idea what happens in that series. It could look a completely different way. So I like them as a matchup against Golden State. Obviously, there's the rivalry there that another team doesn't want to admit exists, but they can't quit talking about it. And then the rest of the teams, obviously the play-in teams, you take the Grizzlies over. But I want that two seed because let's say Denver wins that first matchup. Right now they're playing against Phoenix or the Clippers. Neither of which is going to be a very good time. So, yeah, I want the two seed. I would rather have the two seed at this point, and then I take my chances with having losing home court in a West Finals and being able to pull that out. Yeah.
Do you mind if you fall to the three? Would you prefer moving up to the one or falling to the three if you had to choose one or the other?
Moving up to the one. Because then it's at most one series that you don't have home court in. And I think home court matters for this team. We see the discrepancy in records amongst all these teams. I think they are good enough to match up against those Nuggets. The Nuggets are an anomaly to me. Like I don't know why they're so good, except they keep winning games. And that you just can't deny that they keep winning all these games, right? Obviously not as of late. But I look at the Nuggets and I'm like, why are these guys winning all these games?
Right.
Nothing about them impresses me. It's like Jeff Green's making shots. And I'm like, dude, I've seen Jeff Green in the playoffs. Am I really super afraid of that? Aaron Gordon. Yeah. I think that's something you can plan for. And, you know, home court is almost enough for me to say I'd rather have that harder road, but with a one seed. That's how much of a big deal it's been this year. And it seems to be in every playoff, especially when you go into an absolute buzzsaw of an environment, which all these arenas are going to be. So I would rather go up to the one and slip down to the three, because if you slip down to the three, first off, you're risking a much tougher matchup. Like, there's a chance that one of these teams, like I'd say Golden State is tougher than Dallas. They could slip down into the seventh seed. I would anticipate the standings being about what they're going to be, minus a little bit of shuffling one spot between teams. I would rather have home court than have to go up against two teams that have home court against me. So I want that two seed.
Okay. I'd say we have, what, 10 or less games remaining. I don't know what the Grizzlies are at right now. What are they, 44 and 27?
I think they got 11 games left.
Yeah, so yeah, we're 11 left. And so there's going to be some jockeying that goes around, but I don't think it's going to be on purpose, in all honesty, because you can't afford to lose many games. And this is outside of the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies are trying to win every game they can. They're trying to just figure out themselves, right? I think they want to win every game, but mostly they want to figure out this team, right? Get us rolling, get us back on track. Because you have fresh legs from Ja. You're going to have fresh legs, maybe after some training from Steve-O, who I think is probably doing, you know, more crazy training, like Viking caveman training, just because of who he is. He's probably, you know, crazy enough to do that kind of a training. So he's probably going to come back normal and on fire, ready to go. You have fresh legs out of some of those guys. Plus, you might, with the records you have, especially these next two games, you have a young team, but I feel confident in our young players to outplay those young players on Houston. So you have a chance to probably sit people like Jaren, you know, for a game. I don't know if Ja comes back in the first game. So I think there's opportunity to sit guys here and there, especially guys like Tyus, who's probably just his tongue is dragging the ground because he's doing so much as well. I think there's a chance for that. But outside of the Grizzlies, I think that there will be some jockeying, but I don't know how much they can do because you lose a game or two. And, dude, you could fall from all the way down from, what, the five or the six all the way down to, like, the seven, eight, nine. It's crazy, man. It's tough.
The Warriors are in sixth. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
They're a game and a half out to be outside the play-in. It's crazy 100%. Down. It's crazy, basically, 4 through 12.
I said, yeah.
A lot could happen. I mean, you would have to see some pretty wild stuff to see like a Phoenix drop all the way out. But it's not crazy out of the realm of possibilities for Golden State. But I want to go back to what I said earlier with this, too. I don't think the Grizzlies care. I don't think they care if they're the 2 seed, the 3 seed, the 1 seed. They're trying to figure out how to play their best basketball down this last stretch of 11 or so games, right? They are trying to figure out how to reintegrate Ja and optimize him and Jaren and get that offense popping because the defense, they're going to be able to lock it in. We've seen them lock it in. That's their focus. I don't think even winning games is their focus, right? Obviously, they want to win. That's what optimizing this team will do naturally. But they're focused on optimizing the team and toying with it and figuring it out. From what we've seen from them as an organization, the way they handled things in the past, they are not going to care about anything as much as how do we get to our best brand of basketball heading into this first round playoff matchup against whoever that would be. And so, and I trust them to do it.
Yeah. Chris in the comment says he wants the Warriors. Man, I want them bad.
Yeah.
But as he says, like the heart sometimes can't take it, but he wants to rip their heart out.
Well,
and he wants to do it on the biggest stage, and that would be the biggest stage. It'd be amazing.
Let me tell you what destiny tells me it will do is the Grizzlies finish with the 2 seed, the Warriors finish with the 5 seed, and they each duke it out and meet in the West Finals, and that's where it happens. If you guys believe in fate, I'm just saying I've already been a draft prophet. If I'm a playoff prophet, I don't know. We'll see. Bookmark this. Plenty of people bookmark the Dylan tweet. People hate Dylan, man. Dude is great content.
He is great content. If you want a tweet to potentially go viral, just do something of Dylan and you'll just kind of figure it out. The Grizzlies, they have the hunger back, just as Black Lives Matter said. And this team is a home court juggernaut, such as Denver, right? And that might be because the thin air, it might just because they play better at home, but they are 100% a juggernaut at home, and having a home court advantage gives you obviously one more chance to be better than the other team at the place that you are the best at. And so as long as their defense shows up, as long as they are the team that they have shown, I think this team was the team who wanted to be cool. They knew they were cool. They knew they could beat you, and they kind of get put in their place a little bit. And it was all a happy accident. Probably not so happy. It was an accident. And it all has come to this point where now, hey, listen, Ja was happy in the strip club. Was he not happy? He's not happy now, but no, too soon.
Move on.
Yeah, so I think that I think that this team is they're locked in. And I think if this happens in the middle of the season, I don't know if you can say that, right? Because you have a long, long way to go. But you're talking about less than 12 or 13 to go. Man, it's tough. Yeah, Black Lives Matter said he hadn't seen a Fire in the West meme in months, just because I think kind of people are staying away from that. There's other memes that are going around. Is it the Ja Wick?
Yeah, I was about to say they've gone from memes to just photographs. So I just want to get back to basketball, please. Yeah,
exactly. Listen, it's going to be cool, man. It's going to be to the point where now this team is going to be locked in. And I think that you're going to get a locked in Ja Morant. I think you're going to get a locked in players around him, because they want to prove that this team is who they are. And I think they have a lot to prove. I think the chip is back on the shoulder, on their shoulder. I'm not saying that they're going to be the darling of the NBA, such as they might have been last year, the year before that. I think that they have a chance to have a redemption story. And I think the redemption arc is big. And I think there's a chance for them to kind of come from this and grow as men, as humans, but also as basketball players. I think this all around on the basketball court, off the basketball court, I think it has a really good chance for them to be good. Nathan, what else do you have?
I think we found a perfect name for the pod. Happy Little Accidents. That's going to be the name. That's going to be the name for the show. Accident. I saw a Bob Ross t-shirt at Cracker Barrel the other day. Shout out Cracker Barrel. Never disappoints. But there's a Bob Ross t-shirt, and it made me happy. Happy Little Accidents. Nothing, man. Wow. Listen, this team, it has been a tumultuous season. But I feel like right now, we as a fan base in the team and the organization has gotten back to what it felt like last year, which is incredible considering where it was just 2 weeks ago.
A month ago. Yeah. It was bad.
Like, I mean, just 2 weeks ago, right? This was in a very different place. And now it feels like the fun and the joy that it was last year. And we talked about this on the show. We've talked about it elsewhere. Get back to the joy of basketball. That was what this was an opportunity to do. And I think the team, the city, the fan base is taking advantage of that. And I think we're going to see Ja come back and take advantage of it. And so I'm happy. That's the best way to describe it. I'm just happy about Grizzlies basketball right now. I'm thankful.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited to see them have fun. And I think that it's coming very soon. You're talking about happy little accidents and big things coming. Well, your boys have big things coming. And so make sure you stay tuned. We cannot let it out of the bag just yet. We cannot share it, but we do have some exciting news that we want to share. I'm not sure exactly when that will be, but whatever you're doing is ridiculous. We have some big things coming, and so I just want to share that from the bottom of my heart. Thank you all, because this has been a fun ride. We ain't done. We nowhere close to be done. But some cool things are happening for us on our end. And so whatever you can do, subscribe, rate, review, to our podcast, to our YouTube, make sure you know of kind of what's happening. Also on Grizz Lead, go follow us at Grizz_lead, as well as, our Grizz 901 podcast over on Twitter. You're going to make sure you want to follow that one, because that's going to be one that you can make sure you stay tuned to what's happening with us, because it will be something you're going to be excited about. And so happy for us and our team, because it's a good thing. So that's all I have. It's been a fun night. It wasn't fun so far at up to the third quarter. It was kind of back and forth. It was a little weird. And then the Santi happened. Santi come out, and Santi Claus delivered the goods.
I was trying to do like a Santi plus the happening. I was like the Santiing, but that doesn't work. So we'll have to come up with a new one for that. I can't do it off the top of my head. But yeah, that you made it a little bit weird. Made it sound like goodbyes. I'm doing my best Zoolander impression over here. I just watched Heavyweights today and Ben Stiller's classic underrated movie. So I'm doing my best Blue Steel impersonation. But yeah, no, we're all good. We're still going to have a lot of fun for years and years to come. So just ignore Daniel's weirdness again. Usually I'm the idiot. Today he has taken the mantle.
I was just saying big things coming.
Okay.
Big things coming.
Okay, Dad. Okay,
I was thanking people. Whatever.
You and your pity need to go to bed. You and your pit bull need to go to bed.
Ugh. All right. That's enough from me. Give us a follow if you have a chance. Thumbs up this bad boy. But most of all, thank you for hanging out and listening to whatever this is, right? We like to have a lot of fun, but we like to give you a lot of good content. And it's going to be good. Big things coming, right? All right. That's all we got. Be nice and tell your friends.